Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series, Voices. This adventure and programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. And this morning we have a very special guest, the newly elected Mayor Greg Cromer, to talk about the beginning of his tenure as mayor, some of the ideas about where he is and maybe where we hope to go, but just to hear his heart this morning. We found him to be an honorable man and a man of his word, and we're anxious to hear his words today. So, Mayor, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming over today to do this. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, glad to be with you this morning. It's been a celebration for a couple of weeks now, it seems like. Just one event after another, just getting acclimated to the city. What's your first impression now that the campaign's done? It's you and the people. What's your first impression? Where are you at?
Oh, it's a lot more than just being me and the people. You know, it's our whole community. And a gentleman over at Public Works born this morning asked me, you know, how do you like it so far? And I just held out my hands and said, look at me. What do you think? He says, you look like you love it. You're as happy as you could be. I said, I am. I get up in the morning with a newfound vigor, if you will. I've not been this happy in the past 40 years getting up in the mornings to go to work. So this is a new chapter, I was in the legislature for 11 years, and I never lost the excitement and the enthusiasm about that. And now I've redirected it, and it's multiplied here in the city. I love coming to work in the morning. I love working with our city staff, our workforce. I've tried to get out and touch those men and women every day, at least one or two new ones every day. You know, we can't pay them what they're worth, bottom line, with the city budget like it is. But at least they can know that we as a community, me as the mayor, really appreciate them getting up every day and coming to work and doing the services to the community that they provide. You know, just a warm handshake and a kind pat on the back. Hopefully that gives them a little more incentive to get up and keep going day to day. So that's part of my job as the mayor, I believe, to try to engage people, engage our staff, and make sure that folks are happy and trying to get them what they need.
Well, great. I assume you've been meeting with department heads and different people trying to figure out where we are and where we might be going. Any positive surprises that you've discovered in these first days?
The first week that we were in, right, July 1, we went around to every department, every group, all the city employees, and introduced ourselves, me and as the mayor, incoming chief of staff and deputy chief of staff, John Welburn and Mike Noto. John was an unknown to city employees, and he's fast becoming a very much known. Mike was a very well-known individual to most of the staff and has gotten a warm welcome to them. And myself, you know, some of the folks that have been around for the 10 or 15 years remember me when I was on the council, and I've gotten a warm reception from them. And the folks that are new that weren't here whenever I was on the council, I'm getting a warm reception for them. Also, what we have been doing and what John in particular has been doing is using some of the old techniques that we learned in the aerospace business about evaluating processes and people and procedures, and he's actively engaged with every department head in the past week or so, interviewing them, trying to find out what makes them tick, how they do their job, what do they have to do in their job, what are they missing from their job, what do they think would make their job better or easier, or make their function in their department more efficient. So he's just been gathering facts about how business is done currently, how they would like to see business done in the future, suggestions from the people that are in the trenches every day doing the job. And then we're going to compile all of that, and he's in the process of doing that, should be by the end of this week. And then we'll go back out to the population and share what our findings are and plan a strategy for how we may change the face of government a little bit or the agencies a little bit and give our rank and file an idea of better how they may do their job. I've got 10 or 12 people that are in a training class Thursday. I've got four that are in a training class today. One of the commitments to employees is that I wanted to train them and make them better employees, make them more marketable, give them opportunities to learn ways to do their job more efficiently and better, but make them enable them to move to another opportunity, whether it be in the community or outside the community. And we hit the ground running with that. As I say, the second weekend, we got over a dozen and a half people that will be going to different training classes this week. Now, will they use it to go outside of government employee? At this point, I don't care. If it makes them a better way of life for them and their families, they're going to go out and they're going to be an ambassador for our community and tell about what a good place Slidell is to work, number one, because it helped them make a better way in life, but what a great place Slidell is to work and play also, because they've been here and been in the trenches and they know the people and serve the people. So, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. If we're making people better, helping them create better way of life, whether it be an employer or a member of the citizenry.
There's no more valuable asset to any business or government than the people.
Absolutely.
You know, I've, in my years of business experience in private business, so often you see employers who simply say, I'm paying you money, you do what I said to do, and there's a great lack of relationship between employees and employer. Just the whole attitude of wanting to build these people. This is your face.
But these people represent city government every day they come to work. You know, the guys are out on the roads and are doing sewer work, the road work. The ladies that are and guys that are in the offices over here that are collecting money, billing money, working with permits, you know, all of those things, they are generally the first face and voice that an individual hears when they interact with city government. And if they get they come away with a bad interaction or a bad response, they're tainted against government at that point.
That's right.
These people are ambassadors in our workforce, you know, all in one. And, you know, if I can help them be better people and develop them, they'll be happier people, they'll be happier employees, and they're going to do a better job for the citizen overall. And it all reflects back to our city and to me. From my standpoint, now where I'm at, I'm at the top of the heap. And when there's a bad egg out there misbehaving or not performing, it's a reflection on me as much as it is on them. So I want to give them every opportunity to be the best that they can be and do the best job that they can be and be happy in it when they're doing so with a smile on their face. You know, being in government since 2002, 16, 17 years, I have learned one thing more than any other, that it's easy to deliver good news, but it's almost as easy to deliver bad news if you do it with a smile on your face and genuine
Amen.
Voice in your heart.
Amen. One of the things that you had talked about recently during the inaugural days was a process that you had learned in the space industry in terms of setting goals and vision and things like that. And I found it really kind of intriguing when you mentioned it. Could you tell us a little bit more about the process? Who are the players are, what the responsibility of each person is, and how do we work together to make life better?
What we've talked about throughout the campaign other candidates were talking about similar stuff. It's a Lean Six Sigma processing or a lean evaluation where you essentially take the folks that do the jobs day in and day out, you know, or maybe if you want to put it over to the community, the folks that live in the community, and you sit down with a group of them and what you do is you identify them as what's known in the industry as a subject matter expert. They're the folks that do the process. They're the folks that do the reiteration day out. They're the folks that live day in and day out. You sit down with them and you have a facilitator. And what that facilitator does is he'll take and identify every step in a process. The first step may just be grabbing a pencil. Well, does that have to be done every time you do it, or could you do it in a different manner by grabbing a computer keyboard instead? So you identify that step, and then you'll have a decision to make. You know, do you grab the pencil or do you grab the computer? And then you'll follow a different path if you grab the computer. If you grab the pencil, you'll go a different path. So what you do is you break down, say, getting a permit to every little step or process, and you go through there and you might find there's 30 or 40 steps. Well, in those 30 or 40 steps, are two or three of them done multiple times? You know, is there a redundancy? So one of the questions will be is, why do you do this? Why are you doing it multiple times? What is the best point to do this and gather that information? And then eliminating those redundancies. Another step may be gathering a data point. Well, the question comes, is that data point required by law, or is it required by you just for information you need to do your job in the future? Is it just something you've always done and you don't know why you're gathering that data anymore? So maybe you can throw that out when you eliminate that step. So you refine or lean down the process or any function to the most pertinent points or the required points in the things that enhance that, and you move forward with that. I've seen processes that would have one process we had in the insurance business where we had 73 steps and we leaned it down to 26 steps.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the turnaround time on the paperwork that was being processed went from 63 days to 21 days.
That's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
I've seen it happen in insurance. I've seen it happen in aerospace processing and manufacturing. It can happen when you talk about how to service a park here in town. It can happen how you pull a permit. It can happen how you interact with constituents on a daily basis. So the general public and the workers are the subject matter experts, and my staff, my people that are going to make those things happen, we're the facilitators. We gather the data, work with the subject matter experts, and put the process in the right frame and enable the subject matter experts to go do their job and maybe do it more efficiently and more effectively and easier, and enables them to create other opportunities for themselves and in their job functions.
Well, the subject matter experts being the public, they're the ones who say what our community needs, where the deficits are. This is things we'd like to see. This adds to our quality of life. This provides jobs for our children so they don't move out of the community. All of these type thinking on one hand. But on the other hand, when you start talking about the city, it sounds like you're sharpening your tool. You're greasing the wheels. You're sharpening the tool. You're making it so that when the vision is enunciated, that the tool to make it happen is ready to roll.
Absolutely.
It sounds like just two parallel tracks. One is vision and where we're going, folks, and the other one is I'm going to give you a tool like you've never seen before to take you to a place you've never been before in a much more efficient and effective way than we've ever done it before. Is that kind of...
More or less. You tell me where you want to go, and I'll tell you how we'll get there.
Amen. Amen. What's the process for the subject matter experts? You want me to write you an email, or do you want me to get a protest sign and walk up down front of City Hall? What do you want me to do?
All different ways. We're going to be engaging with the homeowners associations, which we've already done. Last night I had a meeting with the Old Town Slidell Association.
Okay,
used to
great.
Be the Old Town Slidell Merchants. You know, and engaging with all of those groups in our community, get a pulse and a feel for the pulse of where they want their area to go. The folks from Old Town, where do you want Old Town to go? What do you want Old Town to be? What do you want it to look like? What do you expect from city services? And how does that fit within the overall common good of the community? And how do you want that to evolve and drive Slidell forward? And where do you want Slidell to go? You know, you've got a lot of moving pieces. Not one size doesn't necessarily fit all always. So you get the small cogs in the wheel to mesh and interact, which drive the bigger cogs in the wheel, which, you know, your neighborhoods, your specific areas of town, to drive the overall good of the community, the big cog. We have to break it down to each individual sector, whether it be a business advocacy board or a citizens advocacy board, clergy or religious advocacy board, activity youth sports advocacy board. There are different pieces that we're still trying to define what those pieces of the puzzle will look like so we can plug in with them. And then get interaction with members of those groups that will be defined as the subject matter experts to carry the message from those groups forward so we can come to a focal point to make things happen.
So we're not talking about sitting in your office waiting to the squeaky wheel type thing. Yep. Whoever's squeaking the loudest gets the attention and gets the thing. Sounds like you're being pretty aggressive about going out and finding out what people are thinking and intentionally asking them, where are we going? What do you want to see?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. We have been aggressive and are going to continue to be aggressive to get out amongst the public and talk to people. And every time I've had a chance to speak, I've identified to people that, look, I've got some ideas, but I don't have all the ideas. You have the ideas. You know what you want the community to look like better than I do. What's your perspective? You know, where do you want it to go? How does it mesh with my ideas? You know, together, all of the new, fresh ideas will come out with a better product. Now, you touched on something that Mayor Drennan, whenever we had the five mayors sit down and have the discussion, which was in some of the video, key point that he made was that when you have that squeaky wheel that comes in and needs a little grease, you can greet them with a handshake and smile and talk to them and hear what they've got on their mind. If it's a small problem, easy to fix, you take care of it. But if it affects the overall good of the common good, you have to do what's best for the masses and not for the individual necessarily. That was his point. Always govern for the masses and not govern for the individual. When I was in the legislature, I never ran any legislation that only affected one individual. I mean, if it was only for one person's life, there's probably an issue there that's bigger than that one individual. Anytime I ran legislation, it affected the common good of a broad section of our state and our community. And that's the way you've got to govern. You've got to try to take care of the common good of all.
We've been talking about the action steps of getting it done, how the action step list, that's what I think we're talking about, the action steps of what we do and how we do it, what we add, what we take away, about sharpening the tools to make that process work better. Philosophically, though, dreaming a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Where do you want to lead the community to? What's your goal in accomplishing this action list? Where are we going to be when we get done, and how do you know you've done it well?
I'd like to see us a lot more technologically savvy, a lot more connected, give members of the community the opportunity, if they want, to really tag into the technical community through wide area broadband internet capabilities in homes that may not have it right now. A citywide internet system or Wi-Fi system.
Really?
Citywide broadband.
That's pretty advanced thinking. I like that.
The city of Lafayette already has citywide broadband.
Really?
They something they went in and I think they pay a small fee in their water bill, and it's cheaper than if they were connected to AT&T or Charter or something like that. I'd like to have that capability amongst our community. If we have that, then we can take that steps further in all the communications with City Hall that people have, give them the opportunity to connect through internet, email, permitting online, street lights out in front of your house. You pull up the city website and say street light problem, you click on a button, give the pole number of the street light and the physical location address, and it goes into the system and it pops out at the chief of staff's office, who forwards that to CLECO and says, go replace this light bulb or go check this light pole out. And when that's done, it feeds all the way back to the constituent and says, light was repaired, replaced, street light functional, you know.
Awesome.
That's more of a wired community. It's happening around the country, not as rapidly as people would like to see, but you take it in baby steps, small steps. You know, if we can get some of this wired capability out there and put these things online, people will start to use it, and it'll give them the easier access to City Hall. You won't have to sit and wait on the phone for somebody to answer the phone. You just put an email address in, and you'll get feedback from City Hall that will tell you what happened or that it's been received and being worked. I'd like to see us go in that direction. I'd like to see people not have to drive into the city every day that don't want to have a better way of life. We've actually been engaged. One of the things we did before we took office, we were in the transitional period. When I was on vacation, I heard there was announced that another high-tech firm was going into New Orleans with 325 employees. I immediately called back home and talked to my incoming chief of staff. I said, find out who their HR people are, who their business development people are, and who their purchasing people are. Call them, and let them know that Slidell is open for business, welcoming, friendly. We'll connect them with real estate agents in town to start showing properties as they move people in so they can live in Slidell. We want to know who they're doing business with so we can reach out to them and say, okay, your main vendor is in New Orleans. Come to the North Shore and let's put a little satellite office for you in Slidell to service that company. And we want to talk to the purchasing people the same way. Find out who they're purchasing goods and services from and see is there not something in Slidell, that company that already provides that good or service that we can now sell to them, or can we go to whoever provides that good or service and say, okay, come to Slidell and you'll get office space at about 75% of what you pay for office space in New Orleans or less. Come live and work and play in Slidell and service your customer 20 miles across the lake just as easy. I've done that myself for 40 years almost. So take some of the bedroom community and move it to the bedroom, you know.
There was a discussion during the campaign about having a seat at the table, and sounds like this is the first step in gaining that seat at the table is seeing something going on and jumping in with both feet.
It is. You know, we don't want to, we've got to be plugged in with GNO Inc., you know, and the 10 parish region that it works out of. We got to be plugged in with Partners for Stennis, and that, which is now known as Partners for Stennis and Michoud, which promotes business development in that aerospace corridor. Used to be we needed to be plugged in with the Michoud Industrial Development Foundation, but now that Partners has combined the two, Stennis and Michoud, we'll have a seat at the table there. In fact, I've been invited to meetings at Stennis and Michoud in the next couple of weeks when the new director of the NASA will be in,
Mr. Bridenstine. Oh, really? Wonderful.
So we've been invited to participate in those meetings because, number one, I came from that industry, that background, and my chief of staff did also. But number two, we've made it known that we want to be plugged in and engaged with that community. So, you know, we'll have seats at the table with them. We don't want to be seen as a threat to them that we're trying to take business, because that's the last thing we want to do. I can't get a Boeing or a Lockheed or one of those big companies to come locate in Slidell. I won't kid myself and say that. But what I can do is get a little small 10-man firm that supplies maybe contract labor to those folks, or another little 10-man firm that writes software code for those big firms, or another little firm that manufactures a little widget that goes into their big production. I'll take 10 of those 10-man firms for every 100-man firm that we have in Slidell. Every 100-man firm that we'd be looking to locate, because number one, if that 100-man firm folds, you lose it. If a 10-man firm folds, you still got 9 others that you could look
Amen.
Back on.
That's right.
So it's
right.
A little bit of diversity, but it's also economies of scale. We're trying to get seats at the table. Our retail sector is flush with retail opportunities to the point where we got stores that are closing. I'd love to be those stores to be in commerce selling products in generating sales tax dollars, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. And if I can't make that happen, then give me a 10-man firm to repurpose that storefront. We can make office space out of that. You can make light manufacturing space. You can make distribution space out of those storefronts. You know, give me something that will put that business or that building back in commerce. It'll dress up the front. There'll be people moving in and out. It's not blighted. I don't care how we put these businesses or buildings back in commerce. Let's just get them moving again.
Let's just get good jobs in the community.
Absolutely.
More good jobs coming into the community.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
That's excellent. Well, you painted an exciting picture. I'm looking forward to being with you for the next 4 years and maybe 8, as we heard during the inauguration. Maybe there's a thought for that. Looking to see what God's going to do through you. One of the things that I noticed during the inauguration, changing the course of our conversation just a little bit, was that Miss Peggy plays a big part in your life and what you do.
Sure.
She was a big part of your campaign. Maybe I didn't see you, but I always saw her. Tell us what kind of role the First Lady of Slidell will be playing, and what do you think she might find is a good place to be in Slidell?
Well, you know, I said it in the inauguration that God couldn't have given me a better partner, friend, just a soulmate to spend this life with and go down this path. And I truly mean that. You know, whenever I was out in Baton Rouge playing legislator and making a living, she was back here knocking on doors and raising money for the campaign and making sure the campaign continued to roll while I was off having fun, so to speak. She was the workhorse. She's been with me every step of the way, and whenever I've she's never said no. Any of these crazy ideas about running for office, she's never said no. She's always been there and stepped in and been my biggest supporter and biggest critic and my sounding board and also, I guess you'd say, the person that keeps me calibrated. Mm. When I get a little bit too big for my britches, she lets me know real quick that she's the one that washes those britches, and she'll stop if I don't, you know. So as far as her role in city, you know, she said all along through the campaign that she was looking forward to the day that she could go back to playing her golf and being grandma to Stephen and Orson again and have more time to spend with them. And I think she will evolve to that. But she's still, you know, she's already got an idea for an event that she wants to use to create some opportunities for handicapped children in our playgrounds.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
She's got a friend that has a child that's got challenges. And talked to her, you know, told Peggy about an idea she had, and Peggy's taking the ball and running with it. So you'll hear more from her. She's going to have something planned to try to raise some funds, provide some opportunities for kids and their families in the future. She's just a bundle of energy. So I don't know where she might pop up, but she, throughout all of my government career, she does not get engaged with what happens in the office. She stays in the background. Whenever I go home, it's home, and we talk about family and issues with ourselves. We generally don't talk about how I voted that day in the legislature, unless it's something that's critical to her. But most of the time, she stays out of that, and I expect she'll do that mostly here in city government. It's not her nature, and she knows that whenever I get home, we need time together to interact, to be the couple that we've developed into, and we rely on each other.
Has to be. It's good to be well balanced.
It is. She's a tremendous balance. She knows whenever I don't sleep well at night. Two nights ago, she said, "You sleep okay last night?" And I said, "Yeah." "Why?" She says, "Because I felt you reach over and touch me a couple of times to make sure I was there."
Oh, wow.
I said, "Well, you know, just get used to that comforting feeling." So.
Well, that's great. You know, Denise and I have always said that, you know, we get involved with business and work and family and children, and all of a sudden you retire, there's no more business to do, and the children get up and go, and it's just the two of us. And it sounds like you and Peggy are working in that direction to keep the relationship strong, to keep it good, that when the days of reminiscing come around to think about what's going to happen in the future, that you've got somebody who understands, who continues to love you and talk to you. And sounds like you got yourself a good one.
I do. There's no doubt about it. And we look forward to retirement at some point, you know, because we've got things that we do together. We've got things that we do separately. I think all couples that are successful for long term, they have to have some of their own individual interests, but they've got to have interests that they do together. And
right.
And we've got both in interacting. And, you know, we've been married, August 6th will be 36 years.
Wow, congratulations.
And,
that's great.
We still like each other, you know. We
come
don't
on
just
now.
We don't just exist.
Don't get carried away.
We don't
here.
Exist. We still have fun together. So as I said, I couldn't ask for a better soulmate.
Well, seeing you all interact together during some of the recent events getting this term started, it's just been heartwarming. You know, there's genuine smiles, twinkles in eyes, and all the stuff that just makes an outside observer look to say, hey, that's genuine. It's real.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Well, thank you for talking with us today. I really appreciate it. As we get ready to wind this thing up, is there any other thing that you'd like to mention that would be helpful to us?
You know, I'm happy and excited and honored that the citizens of Slidell have given me this opportunity. And I'm going to do my best every single day, every waking hour, to fulfill the mission that they have given me and make them proud about where we are at in the city of Slidell and where we're going in the city of Slidell.
Well, we look forward to your term, however long that is, and look forward to working with you and helping you any way that we can.
Thank you.
Believe in you and what you're doing, and want to be a part of it.
Thank you, sir. I want you to be a part of it.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thanks for talking with us this morning.
Always.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. Send us a text, leave a comment, and we'll be glad to respond. We encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible gifts to support this station. We need your help. Also, again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again daily for the Voice of Slidell at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.